Today, on this day of Pentecost, we remember and we celebrate all the ways that God's Spirit has moved among us in ages past, and how God's same Spirit is alive and at work in the world among us today. We remember how in the beginning the Spirit moved over the face of the waters, calling forth life and order. We remember the Spirit blowing through the valley of dry bones, bringing to life things never before imagined. We remember the Spirit tearing open the heavens at Jesus' baptism, empowering Him for His ministry in the world. And we remember the story that Luke tells about this day of Pentecost when God's Spirit was poured out upon the church, empowering them for ministry in Christ's name. It's an amazing story, one that stretches the very boundaries of the church and makes those early disciples both wonderfully alive and not a little afraid. Who is this, they wonder, who has power like this? Power that can change the world. Let us pray. By the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, open our hearts and minds to hear your word. Blow away anything that prevents our hearing, and move us forth from this place as your witnesses in the world. Through Jesus, our risen Christ. Amen. Let me invite you now to hear these words from the book of Acts. And as we listen today, let's listen together for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." The word of the Lord. Well, if you've ever been to worship on Pentecost Sunday, you've heard that story. It's read every year without fail, world without end, at least in most churches on Pentecost anyway. And so, as you might imagine, a story filled with such familiarity comes with the reality that we might tune it out. Because after all, we've heard it before. Pentecost, we know what it all means. It means wind, it means tongues of fire, it means people speaking all sorts of different languages and each one hearing in their native tongue. We know the story, don't we? And so I spent all week this week thinking about this text and what I could say that I haven't said a million times before, and it wasn't until late that I was led to an experience about this text in a new way, at least for me. And I want to share a bit about it with you and ask you just to hold on as long as you can, because I think it might make some sense of the gift of the Spirit to the church. I remembered late this week a story from my family about our traveling up to go on one of our family hikes in Shenandoah National Park. And you know how hikes go. They're always joyful events, right? And then we climbed back in the van and made our way along Skyline Drive. Now, the early church, whenever it pictures the church, it was often in a boat. You know, the disciples were in a boat with Jesus. Well, if we were writing that story today, I think the depiction would be of a minivan. Maybe you can imagine what it was like. After that hike, we were sweaty, exhausted, hungry, grumpy. Now, not all of us, and not all of those things at the same time, but it was enough to harsh my zen, as my goat yoga buddies would understand. I have no idea what the gas mileage was in our van that day, but we averaged about 42 complaints per mile, for miles. And as you know, if you've been on Skyline Drive, those miles are long at 35 miles an hour. And so we're making our way in that movable grumble that sometimes occurs. And out the side window, we saw a bear. And we, like everyone does, we pulled off as far as we could out of the line of traffic. This was the first time that we were the first spotters of the bear, so we were the first car there, and we simply drank in that sight of that bear out there. But it didn't take long. The grumbling returned, because someone did not have as good a view as the bear as someone else in the van. And all of those statements began to go, "Be quiet, we're looking at the bear. Stop taking flash pictures, we're looking at this bear." And then that bear had the audacity to move as if we were supposed to somehow keep up with a bear that keeps moving. And then someone remembered exactly how hungry they were, and they were actually tired of just looking at the bear. We had been given this rare gift, and our grumbling threatened to turn it into a nightmare family moment. I suspect we're the only family that has ever had something like that. We were stuck in a grumbling van while this amazing gift danced not too far away from us. And about that time, another car came along, and we did what you're supposed to do in those moments. We pointed to the bear. And the look of joy that came across the woman driving that car on her face when she saw what we were pointing at, it just took your breath away. Many minutes later, we passed her again, making her way from that place, and she was still just beaming. And she mouthed the words to us as we passed, "Thank you." So here's my connection. Do you think perhaps that maybe that's the church's biggest downfall today? That we have somehow forgotten the gift that we've been given is a gift to be shared? It is a gift not just for the church, but from the church, for everyone, as we join boldly with the Spirit's work in the world. So maybe you wonder what we should do. Well, if you've seen the Spirit's work in the world, you join the Spirit there. And you point to where you see God at work, and then you invite others to join in, and you've got to know just as surely as I do that is vital work today. So many things keep happening which defy God's righteousness and God's love. And we believe and we trust that the Spirit is at work in the world to make all things new, to bring together that which is divided, to heal that which is broken, to restore wounded hearts, to renew hope, to move the world to wholeness and to peace. We need the Spirit to show up with power, and that's why we keep praying, as you saw during the prelude the prayer there. We keep praying, wind of God, blow far from us all dark despair, all deep distress, all groundless fears, all false values and selfish wishes, all wasteful worries. And blow into us your holy presence, your living love, your healing touch, your splendid courage, your mighty strength, your perfect peace, your caring concern, your divine grace, your boundless joy. Wind of God, blow strong, blow fresh, blow now. And when we see the places, when we see the places where the Spirit is up to that sort of work, that is the place where we join. And that is the place to which we point as we say what God is doing, and we invite the world to join in. And so as those here today who know this fire in our bones that comes as the gift of Pentecost, let us stand together to say what we believe. The Holy Spirit renews the community of faith. Israel did not cease to be God's people, yet out of Israel a new people was formed. The Spirit came with power to the followers of Jesus. Led by the apostles, they began to proclaim with boldness the new thing God had done in Christ. They began to experience in their fellowship a new quality of common life. We believe that by the power of the same Spirit, the church can be set on its way again, even when it seems beyond hope of renewal. We are grateful heirs of reformations and awakenings. We are faithful to the reformers of the past when we hold ourselves open in the present to the reforming and renewing work of the Spirit.